Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now we'll have a call in for any of you who are dual citizens of the United States and any other country. 212-433-WNYC on what your dual citizenship means to you. Which two countries do you call home? Would you or did you ever renounce your claim to one of them? 212-433-WNYC. We bring it up because this week, Texas Senator and potential 2016 presidential hopeful Ted Cruz learned that he is a citizen of Canada, where he was born, as well as a citizen of the United States. And he quickly announced his intention to renounce his Canadian nationality, a move that is apparently becoming more common. But clearly he did this in the context of his desire to have no lack of clarity at all, that he is an American and an American citizen and a natural-born American citizen, as they say. No birthers for Ted Cruz if he has his way. So he renounced his Canadian citizenship, or at least announced his intention to do that officially. So if you're a dual citizen of two countries, call us up. Tell us what it means to you, or have you renounced? And if so, why? 212-433-WNYC, and we'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our board bursting with people who are dual citizens or have been dual citizens. All our lines are full. Let's get a little background while your calls are being processed from Muzaffar Chishti, director of the NYU office of the Washington-based Migration Policy Institute. Muzaffar, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
So just give us the basics on what makes someone a dual citizen. In Cruz's case, he was born in Calgary to an American mother and a Cuban father, so he's an American and Canadian. Is that the usual scenario?
There are two usual scenarios. One is that if you are born abroad to a U.S. parent, then under our law, you are considered a U.S. citizen at birth. And that kind of a person, like Senator Cruz, would be eligible to run for office, including President of the United States. The other way is people are dual, and he retains his citizenship of U.S., but also is entitled to be Canadian citizen because Canada also follows our policy that anyone who's born in Canada at birth is a Canadian citizen. So he becomes a Canadian and a U.S. citizen at the same time. The other possibility is if a foreign citizen moves to the United States and then naturalizes, and his country of origin doesn't require him to renounce his original citizenship, that person then becomes a dual citizen. Or if someone is born in the United States to a foreign parent, that person by birth in the United States is a U.S. citizen under the 14th Amendment. But if the parents belong to a country which transmits citizenship by blood, let's say Germany, then that child is also a citizen of Germany, and that's the way you become a dual citizen.
Interesting. Ibrahim in Manhattan, are you a dual citizen?
Yes, Brian, I am. Like I told you, I'm originally from Sierra Leone in West Africa, and a couple of years back, they passed a law in Sierra Leone that allowed dual citizenship, because before they did not allow it, so I'm an American and I can still keep my Sierra Leone passport. And I think this whole Ted Cruz issue, I don't think politicians should set the standard for anybody, because they say whatever is convenient for them to say to get elected, they do whatever is convenient for them, yes, you know, to get elected. So maybe we should look at it at a broader context. Now, people are talking about interfering in Syria in the name of humanity. So the whole universe is for all humankind.
And Ibrahim, I appreciate the sentiment about all humanity being for all humankind, and I appreciate your call, and I'm going to move on. So he talks about when he could and when he couldn't. Muzaffar, there are some countries that the United States allows you to be a dual citizen with and some you can't, right?
Well, actually, the United States, our policy is as best described as pragmatic tolerance. We don't celebrate dual citizenship. No one should expect standing ovation when they're dual citizens. But we believe that the reality dictates that we should accept dual citizenship. So we don't prevent people from becoming dual citizens unless they do something which is inconsistent with fundamental nature of citizenship, like if someone decides to run for high office in a foreign country or joins the military of a foreign country or does a subversive act, then we would begin proceedings to renounce it.
Iris, otherwise, in Glen Rock, you're a dual citizen?
Yes.
Of?
Can you hear me?
Yes. You're a dual citizen of which two countries?
Israel and the United States.
And how do you feel about that? Why do you maintain both?
Well, I'm actually very proud to be a citizen of the United States because it supports Israel in such a tremendous way. Whichever who the president is, Israel is relying a lot on the United States to help support, Israel, which is something, in my opinion, that is crucial.
Iris, thank you very much. Anne in Chatham, you're on WNYC. Dual citizen of, Anne?
Canada and the U.S.
And why do you maintain them both?
I think it's wonderful to be able to live and go between the two countries freely. It's a wonderful opportunity for my children. I have three of them. They go back and forth, and they have the ability to look for work in both countries.
Are you angry at Ted Cruz for dissing Canada?
Well, Canada has a lot going for it, and I think there are reasons that I would move to Canada. I live in the States now, but as I near retirement and I look at long-term health issues, I think Canada offers a very good health system.
Anne, thank you very much. And maybe that's one of the things he didn't want to be associated with, socialism in the health system. Alex in Park Slope, dual citizenship for you.
Yes, I am, Brian, both French and American. And I never wanted to ditch my French citizenship. My issue is twofold. One is that I don't think it's a question of allegiance, and I don't think that the I think it's perfectly normal that you have to drop, be one or the other, if you're going to run for office. The second issue is different. And when I first came to the States, I figured, okay, there are enough locals. You certainly should require to have only natives aspire for higher office. However, my views have changed, and I really think that it becomes so much discrimination to naturalized citizens of any form, so those who are, do not drop their second citizenship.
Right. Or you have an interesting position, that if you're going to run for higher office, you really need to have an allegiance to that country, so you should drop
exactly
your other citizenship, but that immigrants who naturalize should be allowed to run for president.
Yeah, I really think it's a form, I hate to use the word discrimination. It's been overused, but in a way there is a blemish on my background.
Alex, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Muzaffar, you've written, if I'm not mistaken, that renunciation has been on the rise lately. Is that the case, and why would it be the case?
Yeah, it's a very strange development in our dual nationality issue is that till recently we thought American citizenship is a prized commodity. That's the final prize everyone wants. What we have seen recently is a trend among people giving up their U.S. citizenship, and most of it has to do with avoiding taxation. And the famous case, which got a lot of public attention, was Eduardo Severin, who was one of the founders of the Facebook. And just when Facebook was about to go public, he decided to renounce his U.S. citizenship and take up citizenship to Singapore, for which he was widely criticized. I think Senator Schumer told him that he had defriended the United States. And that's a part of our, we tax people for their worldwide income, and many countries don't.
So
and he chose to do it because of that.
For financial reasons. So the renunciation trend is renunciation of American citizenship, not the other one, whatever some American may have?
The renunciation in the U.S. is of that trend recently. And we have found that in the Dodd-Frank's bill, we now allow whistleblowers who tell the government that foreign banks are not telling us about the bank accounts of U.S. citizens abroad, that if we then collect those taxes and fines, the whistleblower gets to keep one-third of them. So there's a huge incentive for people now to become whistleblowers in this context, and it's increasing the coffers of the U.S. Treasury.
Thanks to all of you for your calls, you dual citizens. You're all citizens of The Brian Lehrer Show. Muzaffar Chishti, director of the Migration Policy Institute office at the NYU School of Law, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Brian.
And talk to you Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.